T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome back to Overnight America. Just a couple of seconds away from connecting to our brother in another country, Drex, who does the late shift out there and many great stations across Canada. There is a big Canadian issue going on with their prime minister. I wanted to talk to him about and get some insights into it.
America. Ryan, welcome back to the shift live across Canada.
Hey, Ryan. Oh, Drex, good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Good to hear from you as well. How are things?
You know, it's cold here. What's you're in Vancouver, is that right?
We do the show out of the Vancouver studios, of course, and I think it's like 1 degree, Matt, or something like that? What is it, Matt? How cold is it right now? It's like 1 or 2 degrees?
Well, according to our studio monitor, which is always a lie, it is currently reading 7 degrees Celsius.
That's Celsius.
Yeah, but it's more like one.
Quickly convert Celsius to Fahrenheit for Ryan, please?
Yeah, it's 1 Celsius is 33 for Fahrenheit. I had to Google it because I didn't know it for sure.
There you go.
We're about 18 Fahrenheit, so we're lower than that right now, at least
we gave up on the imperial system.
I know. I have some friends up in Canada, and we always talk about this, and yeah, I get it.
It is confusing because I watch a lot of American television. Like, you probably grew up watching Carmen Holland on Local 4 in Detroit.
Yeah, you know, I watched the CBCs. We had the CBC in Detroit. It was like a local channel, Channel 9.
You got it from Windsor, right? You would have got that from across the border, yeah.
Right.
I watch the weather people on Local 4 in Detroit, and I'm like, I got to convert that to see how cold it actually is.
You know, I wanted to find out about Justin Trudeau. I see his name pop up in social media trends over and over and over again. I don't quite know exactly what's going on, but it looks like he's in some hot water.
It's all we've been talking about the last 3 weeks here in Canada, Ryan.
Can you explain it to me?
Yeah, I can. So in early February, there's a political journalist here called Robert Fife who writes for one of our national newspapers called The Globe and Mail. And he wrote this really long piece, like it was a wonderful piece to read, saying that there's an engineering firm here in Canada called SNC-Lavalin. They're based out of Montreal. Mm-hmm. And back in the early 2000s, they were accused of bribing Libyan officials. This is when Muammar Gaddafi was still in power.
Interesting.
And you can't do that. It, you know, part of international business, you get your butt kicked for that. So the RCMP in 2015 charged them with fraud and corruption. Now, in America, you have a thing called a deferred prosecution agreement. So if a large company does something very bad, instead of getting that criminal found guilty and not being able to bid on government contracts, you can basically pay millions of dollars to the American government and you can still bid on U.S. contracts. So what happened is after they were charged with these things, they started to lobby the government to change the judicial rules in Canada to put in deferred prosecution agreements because we never had them.
Okay.
So Robert Fife wrote this story saying the Attorney General, Jody Wilson-Raybould, was consistently and constantly asked to make sure that they would get a deferred prosecution agreement as to save the company and save a bunch of jobs. Now, that story kind of sat there for a week or so. We were talking about it in the media, but the Attorney General was saying nothing. And she was still the loudest voice in the room because every time the media was asking the Prime Minister about it, he changed the story.
Interesting. And why it would be useful, or change the story in which way?
Of whether or not he pressured Jody Wilson-Raybould.
So the
claim is that someone in the Prime Minister's office had gone to the Attorney General and said, hey, listen, do us a solid. Can you drop this criminal charges against SNC-Lavalin and make sure that they just get a deferred prosecution agreement? Because if they'd been found guilty, they wouldn't be able to bid on any Government of Canada contracts for 10 years.
Okay.
Right? They've got 9,000 employees.
Wow.
So for 2 weeks, nothing was said. So, a few days ago, about a week ago today, They asked Jody Wilson-Raybould to appear in front of the Justice Committee, where she would be able to answer whether or not this happened or not. And the whole point was is that he wasn't going to give solicitor-client privilege so she could speak her mind. Mm-hmm. The media kind of barraged him with that. And then he said, all right, fine, she can talk about what happened while she was Attorney General. So she said, hey, listen, I'll come in and do that, but you need to let me have 35 minutes at the start to give an opening statement, no interruptions.
Okay.
I want to play the first 26 seconds of what she said at that Justice Committee last Wednesday. Listen very carefully.
For a period of approximately 4 months between September and December of 2018, I experienced a consistent and sustained effort by many people within the government to seek to politically interfere in the exercise of prosecutorial discretion in my role as the Attorney General of Canada in an inappropriate effort to secure a deferred prosecution agreement with SNC-Lavalin.
That is the first 30 seconds of her testimony.
Yeah, is she under oath at that point?
Absolutely under oath. She's a very well-known and very well-respected lawyer in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought text messages. She brought notes that she'd been taking. Because you know what lawyers are like. They take notes in every single meeting. You ever been in a room with a lawyer? They're taking notes on whatever you're saying. Even if you sneeze, they write it down. Ryan Record just sneezed.
Yeah, exactly.
So that happened, and then the barn doors were blown off this. That very same night, the Prime Minister was quizzed about it, and he had this to say.
This has been a difficult few weeks, and it's been difficult because we've had internal disagreements.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing, she named 11 different people that were pressuring her to change the rules on that so this company could get a deferred prosecution agreement. And she says, you know, it came from the Prime Minister's office. She mentioned specific discussions about who said what, when. And one of them was even her saying the Prime Minister was saying, hey, I'm the member of Papineau, Quebec in Montreal. This could be bad for me. You know, this is, you know, there's a provincial election happening in Quebec. So then he said, and he kept on harping on this, that the decision here was all hers.
I want to be absolutely clear here. The decision around SNC-Lavalin was Ms. Wilson-Raybould's and hers alone. I want to confirm this again for Canadians, as Ms. Wilson-Raybould herself confirmed today. This decision is the Attorney General's alone.
Here's the kicker, Ryan, is during her testimony, she said, I'd made up my decision and I told them what my decision was, and they still continually were asking me to change my mind.
Hmm.
So yes, it was my decision, but they wanted me to change my mind. So
okay.
We now have the leader of the opposition, which is a conservative party, now asking for the Prime Minister to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next 12 hours, the Prime Minister's personal secretary and the clerk of a thing known as the Privy Council, which is the highest public office bureaucrat in Canada, are going to be called in front of that committee to answer questions about whether or not she was pressured. So,
wow. Well,
it is a mess.
We are
Ryan
so much
Reka.
Dirtier here in America. Well, so when I hear some of these things, it seems somewhat tame compared to what we've been dealing with. All right. So was there an interference with an investigation, or was it mostly just political pressure to lean her one way?
Well, the investigation was already done. They'd been charged it was going to go to court. So they wanted this to be to go to the wayside and just be a deferred prosecution agreement. So
yes.
The Attorney General has now resigned.
So there really isn't interference with the investigation was already over with. This is mostly
that
trying
was
to
done. Yeah, this was going to go to court. So yeah, so it was either we go to court and they likely are going to be found guilty for millions of dollars of bribes to Libyan officials and they won't be able to have government contracts, or sign a deferred prosecution agreement and they'll get a slap on the wrist, pay the country a bunch of cash, and you can continue to do that. So
yeah, change the law to cater to their interests,
yes,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And okay. That's what they've been accused of doing. So now
Yikes.
Because of that, the Attorney General says that she does not have faith in the cabinet, which is, you know, basically like, you know, Trump's cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And she resigned as Attorney General. The head of the Treasury Committee has also resigned as well. She's another very well-respected politician.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a couple of people going, you know what? We don't have confidence in our prime minister. We're going to resign. So
Yikes.
That is the situation right
Yeah,
now.
We have these terms too big to fail. And we saw that with the banking problems here in the United States and some of the auto industries as well.
Yeah.
So when you have these really large employers and then they've made some pretty bad financial decisions or mistakes, they always find a way to get out and they always go back to you're going to affect a lot of different jobs. And we saw, like, during the Obama administration, there were they were bailing out the auto industry and trying to save the jobs in Detroit and the banking, too.
Yeah, we did the same here. We gave GM Canada a bunch of cash. And I think the hypocritical thing here for many Canadians is that we've had massive job losses in the oil and gas sector in Alberta. That's where a lot of oil comes from. Huh. We've had Sears Canada shut its doors. We've had a whole bunch of other big businesses that employ thousands of Canadians shut their doors. But no interference from the Prime Minister to try and protect those jobs. Ooh. So the claim is here is that he's trying to protect 9,000 jobs for SNC-Lavalin, this engineering company. But at the end of the day, people are saying, well, it's just the Prime Minister trying to protect his job because that's where he is based, in Quebec.
Well, that is something else. What are the odds that he actually does resign over something like this?
I would say highly unlikely. His dad was a prime minister as well, pretty famous prime minister, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, back in the day. He was prime minister a couple of times, actually. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say Justin Trudeau, the looks are there, but he doesn't have the brains, whereas his father had the brains. So, there's people throwing hand grenades. Not unlike American left media throwing hand grenades at Donald Trump. You're getting the same here. A lot of hand grenades being thrown at the Liberal Party. And I will say this, it's quite interesting to see rusted on Liberal Party supporters here in Canada say, oh, this is just a witch hunt. It's fake news. I'm thinking, you are the very same people that were calling out Donald Trump and the people surrounding him for creating fake news, and now you're calling certain things fake news yourself. you've got the same issue.
I think that's a really good rundown. I'm glad you explained it to me. Now I'll understand the headlines when there is something that breaks on that. I'll have some background knowledge. Can I ask you one other thing about how you do radio?
Sure, yeah, hit me.
Those sound effects, you put little whooshes around them? Whoosh, whoosh.
Yep.
That is impressive. I like that. I think that's so cool. Yeah. So do you build that into all of your news clips?
All audio, yeah. All audio has the swoosh in and swoosh out.
Oh, that's like on television in the 90s when they'd go to like a flashback or something. There was always like a sound effect that would usher in the quick little slide of new video that would pop in and out. It's just whoosh. I love it.
I'll email it to you. You can use it if you want.
I'll use it all the time. I'll overuse it.
Can someone email Ryan the swoosh, please? Matt's going to email it to you.
Yeah.
I've got a whole board of sound effects here. Like, here we go. I've got, I'm just wondering what I can play here for you. I have one of the largest folders full of Trump sounds and words.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I keep everything. I like this one. This is the UK House of Commons, and the Speaker of the House telling everyone to be quiet.
Order!
Order.
It's a dirty order.
Yeah. 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 A lot of those. I like all the sound effects. I think it's a flashback to my FM morning days.
You know, I know everyone has to have the sound effect board. And back in the 90s, it was like Simpsons and King of the Hill and things like that. And eventually it moved on to Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboards. You got to have a good Schwarzenegger in there
everybody
once in a while.
Everybody get to the chopper. Yeah. That one, yeah. Everyone uses that one.
All right. So when is this going to come? Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say we need more Sylvester Stallone soundboards. He's got that gruff sort of low voice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So when is this going to resolve itself, you think, all of what's going down?
I have no idea. Ryan, I don't know. It's the political gift that keeps on giving.
Are we talking weeks, months, years, or what would you say?
We have a federal election this year in October. Ooh, so
before then.
So, you know, is this going to reflect badly on the Liberal Party, or is something else going to be happening? Who knows?
I like it. Well, I'll have to, at least I'm knowledgeable on this now. I can sound like I know what I'm talking about when I message my Canadian friends in my fantasy hockey league.
They're going to be like, wow, he's so well-versed in Canadian politics. That's incredible. Ryan, I have to love you and leave you. It has been fun to chat. Can we chat again next week?
Let's do it. I love it.
Ryan Racka, thank you.
Drex, thank you so much for joining us here.
We'll speak to you next week. That is Ryan.
Ooh, isn't that cool? Isn't that so cool? We get to do the live hookup. All of North America is listening. Overnight America on KMOX with Drex and The Late Shift all across Canada. Several great radio stations through the Chorus Radio Network. I need that sound effect for all of our news clips. That's impressive. They have the production value to do that. It's Overnight America on KMOX. got now. They gave me the sound effect. Here we go. Kind of fits right in with the music, doesn't it? I think we could mix it in and no one would know the difference. I could probably play this the whole next segment. That's a great whoosh. I wonder how they make that sound effect. I only keep a couple of things in the system. I really don't use a lot of sound effects. This was pretty good. Hold on. Here's one I kept.
You're a tightwad.
That was pretty good. Let's see. What else do I keep? I got a couple of theme songs in here, too. Oh, yeah, this one. I don't know why I kept this. I don't ever play it.
The answer is yes and yes.
I like that Al Gore for some reason. I keep the Jerome rap in here. This was a good one.
When I want to listen to my favorite radio station in the whole entire nation, I go to Overnight America because there's so much hysterica taking place in that place. Oh, my goodness, it puts a smile on my face. When I talk to Magical Michael, it makes my night go so much better. I don't even have to eat any cheddar. But as since I'm always alone, I go ahead and eat some provolone. And then I listen to Ryan, and he talks about how the left are always crying. And I love my show, and I love my bros. Thank you and goodbye. See you later, Gator.
Thanks, Jerome. Wow, I haven't heard from Jerome in a long time. Now, he did text us and say that he has a hard time listening to the show. He doesn't have a radio in his car right now, so he doesn't know what topics we're talking about, so he doesn't want to just call in blindly. So hopefully we'll be able to hook up with Jerome again in the future sometime. What else do I have in here? Yeah, I do have this in here.
Stop it.
Oh, and this lady, too.
Stop it!
Oh, and him, Arnold Schwarzenegger. What do we got here? Oh, yeah, producer Mike said I should play the Strange Brew thing when we hook up with our Canadian counterpart with Drex. He said, play the Strange Brew when they do that little news alert sound. So I saved it, and I thought, no, I'm not going to offend him on our first interview. And he's been so cool. I haven't played that, but producer Mike thought he was real funny. Oh, talking about producer Mike, I saved this one, too. What's the name of your band again?
Mike Anderson and the Rock Bottom Producers.
All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Oh no! Hold on.
Something like a host with a beautiful mindset. Something like a host with a pretty voice. I like a host with a big vocabulary, and it's a good thing you can't see his face. I stay up. For my host, Ryan Recker, I stay up for Overnight America. But the biggest secret is the show would be a snoozer if it wasn't for the world's best producer.
Well, that was pretty impressive. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that Dave Barry song about a million times. We play it pretty much every show when we have the profile flashbacks here. All right, so coming up next, oh, that was fun. Can we play the whoosh one more time? Let me see. Hold on. Why not? I'm going to have to find better ways to incorporate that. We're going to be joined by Dr. Richard Bandler coming up. Why do rich people do stupid things? Here we have Robert Kraft, who goes down to Jupiter, Florida, goes into a massage parlor, gets part of this prostitution ring, you know, gets busted and named, right? Not good. You have Smollett up in Chicago trying to hoax himself up a hate crime and gets caught doing it. Why do they do these things? Why does anyone do these things? So we're going to talk to Dr. Richard Bandler about that next on Overnight America KMOX. I'll tell you why, that was real fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. If you miss any part of the show, we offer it up for you to download. The podcast direct link is at kmox.com/overnight. your little web browser there, KMOX.com/overnight. You can also find it on your favorite podcast app, like radio.com, if you don't know. You know, you can get it right on there, too. So we post those up for free, and I always love going back and seeing how many people enjoy them. And when you look at the hundreds and then thousands of people that do that, it's just awesome. So go and do it. Share it with your friends. One of the nice things about this radio program is you can be social and send it to your friends. And, you know, do it on Twitter, do it on Facebook, do it wherever you really want to. It almost sounds like a lyric to a song. That's a little weird. Joining us now is the author of Thinking on Purpose, a 15-Day Plan to a Smarter Life, Dr. Richard Bandler. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
It's my pleasure.
You know, with all of the different stories we've heard in the news, we have the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, going, you know, probably close to where you are in Florida. You're in Orlando. He was down in Jupiter going to these massage parlors or whatever. And then you have these different hoaxes that are orchestrated by well-known actors on television. And it makes you wonder, why do people do things like this? Why? I don't think normal people would ever say, I'm going to try to, perpetrate a hoax. Or I don't think most people in general population would say, you know, I'm going to risk everything that I've built for myself to go to this massage parlor and maybe I'll get caught. I don't understand. When you have so much to lose, why do people do that?
Well, it's not because they think they can get away with it so much as that they don't think about it at all. It just becomes a part of their life that they become fixated on what sounds like a good idea. Warren Buffett once said that he said, people try to think of a good way to get rich, and then they look for evidence to make it a good idea instead of looking at the evidence. Had these people really thought it through, they would have never done these things. But I'm not an expert on how people plan to get stupid. I'm the expert on how people get smarter easily.
Yeah.
Because most of my clients were sent to me who had been in therapy for years, and sometimes it only took me 20 minutes to get them to stop being stupid.
Yeah.
I
think most people have something they're doing that they might be hiding from other people. Isn't that just human nature in general? It might not
well,
be
I mean,
to the extent
good decisions
of criminal.
And bad decisions in your mind. Everybody makes bad decisions. All you have to do is look in your closet, your garage, and your storage shed, and you'll know that's true.
Yeah.
And it's not that we couldn't have made better decisions. It's that we really don't examine most decisions. Most people, if you ask them, you know, to think of a really good decision and think of a really bad decision, and then you go, are they in the same place in your mind? Point to them. And they point in two entirely different places. And yet they never stop and think, if something pops up in the bad place, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
And there are simple things like this in my book that people can spend 10 minutes a day, and after a couple of weeks, they'll start to make better decisions. And then you won't end up on the news because you underestimated the fact that giving a personal check to someone to commit a hoax and doing it on videotape in a cab is a bad idea.
Yeah.
It's almost like they didn't suspect that law enforcement is trained.
you scratch your head on this, but I guess people's own personal nature. You know, there's a lot of people that do try to do things, maybe not to that grand scale where it'll get the public attention or whatever it is.
Well, yeah. I've been watching what Congress has been doing recently, and I'm going to send everybody their copy of my book because I can't believe the decisions. With all the serious things in the world to do in this country, Mr. Mueller has spent over $20 million trying to find out, you know, if the Russians were trying to influence our elections. We've been trying to influence other countries' elections since the Central Intelligence Organization was formed.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be rocket science. They could have called the CIA and somebody there would have said, yep, they're trying to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question is, you know, was Donald Trump a Russian spy and involved in it? I don't think we need to spend $20 million to figure that out. He doesn't get along with anybody that well.
That could be basic. That's the moral of any testimony that's been public so far. He's not really that great of a boss. He doesn't get along with a lot of people. But we haven't really found the evidence that would be able to charge him with the criminal activity. That's like the moral of every story we've seen so far when it comes to the
right. Evidence. And in terms of job performance, he's made a lot better decisions than some people. I mean, we spend almost $1 trillion reorganizing healthcare to make it more available, and they didn't build a single new hospital, train a single new doctor, or single new nurse. You want to lower the cost to somebody, you make more providers for it. You know, you don't make a huge bureaucracy to slow it down. You know, my dermatologist quit because it would have cost him too much money to buy the computers.
Oh,
and
wow.
He goes, I'm 52 years old. I'm probably only going to work for another 10 years. It's cheaper to just quit now.
Wow.
And
now, that's crazy. Yeah, you know, and same thing with where we have seen, probably the only place we've actually seen progress is with the VA system. I mean, that was something that desperately needed some attention. At least there was something done there.
Yeah, but don't you think they could do more cheaper?
Yeah.
They're not asking, how can we do more cheaper? It's always how much money, you know, the whole structure of how things are bid in the government. I mean, our congressmen and our senators should be sitting down making really good decisions and negotiating things that make it so that we start to get rid of, you know, things like, oh, I don't know, what's it been since Bill Clinton, since they balanced the budget and, you know, the national debt. By the way, the collateral for that is the labor of your children and your grandchildren and you for the rest of your life to pay off the interest.
Yeah.
Most people work till May
to pay
their taxes.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes.
So these senators and congressmen aren't making good decisions.
Yeah.
It's not just the idiots on the news. They're flagrant, you know, ones, because never underestimate people's ability to do stupid things. But you shouldn't underestimate their ability to get smarter if they really started asking the right questions and saying, how can we do this cheaply and better? They keep thinking if you have more money, things are going to get done better. And that's been proved to be wrong all through history.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Bandler is the author of Thinking on Purpose, a 15-day plan to a smarter life. You know, asking those questions, what were they thinking? When you hear like Robert Kraft or Jesse Smollett and what's going on in the news, they have so much to lose. What were they thinking? But you know what? We have that same question to ask ourselves sometimes. So we'll continue our conversation with him next on Overnight America KMOX. Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Dr. Richard Bandler, author of Thinking on Purpose, a 15-day plan to a smarter life. So as opposed to maybe the grand scale, you make these individual decisions for yourself and what you do on a day-to-day purpose. A lot of times people just look at, you know, what's the easiest thing to do as opposed to what
well,
might be the right thing
to do.
Well,
that's not the right question to ask.
Yeah.
You know, the easiest thing to do sometimes is nothing. And then, you know, people, you go in a retirement home and people go, I could have had a great life. You know, when they're 65 or 70, they go, it could have been easy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make images of yourself where you see yourself doing what you want to do in a good way, and you keep changing it until you feel drawn towards it, then you start to make it bigger. Most people just make the images big and then believe what's in them. And, you know, that's not how our neurology is designed. Our neurology is designed to pick a direction and then go towards it.
Yeah.
Sort of ready, aim, fire, not fire, aim, ready.
Mm.
And this book has got simple things people can do for 15 days that will teach them how to change beliefs that get in their way. Because really, it's just neurological tricks,
yeah,
not psychological tricks.
Mm.
A lot of people underestimate our neurology. I've taken learning disabled kids that had all these tests, and they weren't supposed to be able to do things. And 3 days later, I have them doing math and reading and spelling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole thing, every classroom in the country passes out phonetic spellers when you can't spell phonetics phonetically. It's a ludicrous system. And all of those books have the words in little tiny typed spaces. And so you always see kids, when you ask them how to spell a word, squinting. Even adults do it. They squint to try to see the picture in their mind because nobody tells them you look at the word and make a great big one in your head.
Yeah.
Unlimited space in your brain and easier to remember bigger things. and easier to forget smaller ones. So when stuff bothers you, you need to shrink it down. And when things make you behave well, you make them big.
Yeah.
I mean, there are just simple things like that that can make people so they have much better, smarter lives.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Bandler, so what does a smarter life actually look like once you start focusing on that with your own life?
Well, this is my 32nd book, and I wrote a book one time about happiness. And what we did is we went and examined all the research about how it helps you to live longer, happier people live longer, they overcome diseases better, everything about it is better, and started to find out what are the components. And most of those components, you know, it's not that you're a giddy person, because happiness isn't a place, it's not a thing, it's an adverb. One happily does something. One happily drives to the store. One happily kisses their wife. And most of the really happy people take the time to realize the currency of living is how you spend each moment. Mm. So when they get home, they take a breath, they open the door, and they look at their wife, and they really see her. When their kid runs up, they stop, and they really look at them. The survivors of the Holocaust that did well versus the ones that lived with nightmares the rest of their life spent the whole time they were interned planning what they were going to do to get out. Hmm. One of them that I interviewed imagined building a clothing store in New York City. And he designed the store, everything, the suits, everything methodically, day in and day out. And that's all he thought about was where he was going to go when the war was over. Many of the clients I had who were basket cases from what had happened to them, because it was absolutely horrific. All they could do was to think about it over and over and over again in their dreams, in their day. And that's a lot of time. That's a lot of moments. If you spend an hour thinking, in, 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 4 minutes there about some bad thing that happened in your life, then, that's 300 hours a year, mm-hmm. That's 3,000 in 10 years, 12,000 in 40 years. It adds up. Mm-hmm. And most people don't think that what they're doing is planning. And that's exactly what it is. When I ask my clients, you're afraid of spiders. How often do you think about them? If you added up a minute here, 2 minutes there, and 5 minutes there, every once in a while you actually see one. But in the course of a day, how much time do you spend? Some people will tell me 2 hours. Well, now we're talking enormous amounts. And when I go, you're planning in the next 30 years to spend 24,000 hours doing this. And they go, well, I don't think of planning it. And I go, you are. It's going to happen. You're doing it. It's not me doing it. It's you. And by the way, when you're thinking about it, there's not even a spider there. You're not afraid of spiders. You're afraid of the thought of spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Only two natural fears, loud noises and falling.
I guess that's true. Natural fears. Those are the only two natural fears?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
All the rest of them are accomplishments.
Wow. I never would have thought that. Dr. Richard Bandler, author of Thinking on Purpose, a 15-day plan to a smarter life. Where can people find your book?
Bandler Books. Pretty easy.
Bandler Books.
Or Amazon, Kindle. Thinking on Purpose came out yesterday.
Mm-hmm. 32 books you've wrote already, you said.
Well, not already. I started a long time ago.
32.
I'm not 20 years old.
Yeah, but 32 is a big number. Did you ever imagine maybe back at the start you're going to write 30-some books? Or how did that happen?
Actually, in the start, I thought I'd never finish the first one.
Well, that was a hard process, a journey to go through.
Yeah. Well, the first one was the first four chapters of the first one was actually part of my thesis, and mm-hmm. I didn't think, it felt, long nights. I didn't think I'd ever get done.
Yeah. When did it get easier for you?
But a lot of those books I co-authored, so I didn't actually write the whole thing.
Yeah.
I wrote part of it.
Well, was there ever a time where you thought, like, oh, I got this down. I got this.
Or does it's always it always if you don't have if you don't think it through really well, you just write the same book over and over again.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. You have to be careful for that.
I mean, some of my books are fairy tales, and some of my books are about hypnosis. Some one about happiness. There's there's some self-help books, and there are some very serious books about language. It goes by the topic. I try to plan it out so that everything really is written to a certain audience and says something specific and backs it up and teaches people how to do it.
So what do your books take up about a shelf and a half on a standard bookshelf?
Well, it depends on whether they're hardbacks or softbacks.
Yeah, that's good to say. That's...
I think you can put them all on the thumb drive now.
Yeah, absolutely you could. All right, so the website is...
BandlerBooks.com.
BandlerBooks.com.
And if you want to find out more about what I do, you can go to PureNLP.com.
Perfect. All right, Dr. Richard Bandler. In the book, again, Thinking on Purpose, a 15-Day Plan to a Smarter Life. Thank you for coming on to KMOX.
You bet. Thank you so much.
And he joins us on the GL International Realty Guest Line. So earlier today, you heard in the news, and we've been continuing to report on it, that Lewis Reed won his bid to stay president. And, well, it was a lot closer than a lot of people thought it would be. Looks like, let's see, what else we got here? A lot of political things going on over with Steve Stenger and what's going to happen, showing up to the board meetings. You heard that, too, with Kevin Colleen. He did a whole other story. This is going to be a good one. We might as well do this. We got a minute or so here.
Mr. Chairman, last week I raised many questions about...
During the public comment period, consumer watchdog Tom Sullivan roasted the panel for wanting to give millions of dollars in taxpayer money to fix up the downtown convention center.
$1 billion for the dome every year and put it toward the extension of the convention center at a cost of $240 million over 40 years. Kitty Ratcliffe carefully danced around some of the issues I raised. She claims to be a person of integrity. She is, in fact, a con artist, and a good one. She gets the council to give her millions of dollars. This is beyond $180 million.
After the meeting, Kitty Ratcliffe just smiled and shook her head.
About. Never. By the way, the only thing the law mandates that allowed the vote for the dome in 1990 is that it go to pay off the dome bonds.
There's about 100 people listening to all this as he goes on.
I think the $240 million should go to build up St. Louis County. Councilwoman Irby is introducing the bill, but she can hardly vote for it. Some of the most impoverished parts of this area are in her district. Some of the $240 million could go to improve the Wellston Shopping District. Some could also go for housing and neighborhood improvements, sidewalks, streetlights, playgrounds. This would also create a lot of jobs. Councilwoman Walton Gray surely can't vote to send all that money downtown when her district has so many...
My favorite part is coming up when he looks at the head guy, Sam Page, and tells him he's already had too many bad ideas.
Some of the area's worst schools in her district. Mr. Page, you can hardly support the convention center extension. You have already exceeded the quota when it comes to supporting terrible proposals.
Page just smirked and shook his head.
For social justice. So she can't vote to give $240 million for a downtown project when the county isn't addressing so many social needs, especially the homeless problem. Also, $4 million of the $240 million could be used to buy the Tower T land. I know Councilmember...
That got the attention of a lot of Tower T people there. They don't want that home development in the area.
I'm sure they don't favor it. I don't think Councilman Fish would vote for it either, as he is a fiscal conservative, and convention centers are notorious boondoggles. Councilman Harder has the best record on the council for voting against taxpayer ripoffs, and I'm sure he will not be for this one either. So it's all settled, Mr. Chairman. You can tell the CBC we're sorry, but the council is not going to be scammed. County tax dollars will be spent to benefit the people of St. Louis County instead. Thank you for taking my comments.
That's consumer watchdog Tom Sullivan, who is never boring.
Mike Dunkey.
Another whole nother story with Kevin Colleen there, who is never boring. What a nice little commentary rant he had there. Good for him. Stand up and say those things. I like finding interesting little pieces of audio like that one. Well, that'll about do it for us here on Overnight America. Next couple of nights are going to be slow for us. The Blues are on the West Coast. They start off in Anaheim tonight, Wednesday night. And since it's a two-hour time difference between here and Anaheim, it means like a 9 o'clock start, which means that we're probably going to kick things off a little past midnight Central Time, depending on how long the game lasts or if there's overtime or shootout or whatever it is. That means we're only going to have a couple of hours of Overnight America on Wednesday. And then right after that, the Blues stay over on the West Coast. They got herself another late night start. So, hey, we're going to end the week off. And before you know it, we'll actually be opening the show with Rebecca Black. Can you believe it? That close. Well, follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker, and if you miss any part of the show, download it. The podcast can be found directly at KMOX.com/overnight, or you can find it on your favorite podcast app. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow. Go Blues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.